When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go, Hour 2, G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fans standing by now for the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, and hopefully some encouraging news on CeeDee Lamb and Tank Lawrence. The presser will be brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. All right, we're going to get to the NFL news today while we wait for Mike. I asked as we went into the break, what would you think if they won four of the last six and they decided to bring Mike McCarthy back under the idea of, well, you lost Dak, you had so many other key injuries, you had the three straight 12-win seasons, guys continued to play hard, and the only answers were LOL, Wolchuk. I don't think people are buying it right now. What else you got over there in that NFL news today, buddy?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to buy. Bad news, though, for the 49ers. They're hurting in a big, big way. Christian McCaffrey has suffered what is a PCL injury. Kyle Shanahan said he's probably done for the rest of the season. So, you know, they pointed out PCL is usually a couple of weeks, but at the rate of their season, where it's going right now, they are just a game back still, I believe, for the division lead. I mean, that's a dog-eat-dog type of division, but he already, we know, was missing earlier in the season with both of his Achilles. Now you've got this PCL injury. I think his dad was just on Kay Adams' show, said, like, if he's good to go, he's going to play. It doesn't matter if they're in the playoff hunt or not. Christian wants to be out there. But I'd be surprised if we saw him again this season. And I think since 2020, he's only played 50% of the total games available for him to have played. So, I mean, last year, an outlier season. He was finally healthy. We saw with the difference that he made, but unfortunately not able to stay healthy throughout.
I felt horrible for him yesterday. You know,
it stunk, man.
That play, it spoke words. It did. You know, you saw the pain. You saw the lack of a balance, the lack of power. And, you know, now the Niners really have to be worried about the gigantic salary they gave him in the offseason. You know, this could be something that could weigh them down significantly. And this is why it's so risky to pay running backs at this age, really at any age, but especially with Christian McCaffrey. You know, so they had their shot with him. And again, we both feel horribly about his injury, don't we, Brian?
Absolutely,
you know?
I do, yeah.
You don't want to see that happen.
Don't want to see that happen.
Saw Barstool Gruden, good old John Gruden's campaigning for the running backs. He was like top three free agent running backs last year. Barkley, Henry, Jacobs, all switched teams. Their new teams are 25-9. Teams that left 7-26.
So yeah, they went to great organizations or winning organizations.
That'll happen.
See the difference. And they left trash ones. Jacobs leaves the Raiders as if they were any good when he was there. Barkley leaves the Giants as if he was any good when he was there.
Don't get in the way of
Henry leaves the Titans as if they were any good when he was there.
Yeah, I mean, they have both. All three of those guys been awesome. I think they're the top three leading rushers right now, but I wouldn't have exactly thrown out the record of the teams they left. Like, those teams were, you knew they were
sucked last year, too.
Come on. The Bills, though, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
They win the snow game last night. They're doing snow angels post game. It's amazing. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. They've already clinched the AFC East. I mean, this is one of the earliest division clinchings I can remember. Congratulations to them. They're still chasing down that number one seed in the AFC. But the play yesterday, the Amari Cooper, I'm going to pitch it back to Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, I mean, that to me was, if he hadn't already sealed the MVP with his run to victory against the Chiefs, I think Josh Allen has done it, as he has now become the first quarterback in NFL history to catch a touchdown, run for a touchdown, and pass for a touchdown in a single game. He's a freak alien. But this Bills team, maybe something's different there. Maybe this is finally the season Buffalo is able to crack through and make it to the Super Bowl.
It definitely seems better. I think the most important thing they should be doing right now is just fly to Los Angeles. I saw like some reports for the weather that Buffalo is going to get up to 5 feet in one 24-hour period this week.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they have back-to-back road games. Jeez. So they don't have to worry about calling their fans to dig out the stadium from snow again. But that is an insane weather pattern happening right now up there.
Lake effect snow.
Yeah. I mean, this is like bringing the National Guard for stranded motorist type of storm.
Well, the fans having to get to their seats. Like, they basically just cleared out all the walkway, the stairs, but they said, you're on your own. Like, getting the snow out of your own seat. Yeah. But, hey, the Buffalo Bill fans, they showed up. I think the new stadium they're building is going to have a covering of the seats. So,
inspired by Tottenham, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's an awesome look. Like, what the European stadiums do, we should be incorporating that. If you want to still have an outdoor stadium, okay, but do some type of covering when it comes to the fans so they can still, like, I was under that during the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh at Acrisure. I was up high enough to where I didn't get any of that rain on me.
Mike McCarthy up at the Star.
Hey, Mike. David Moore, Dallas Morning News. This week was a little different with a Thursday game and then a Monday night game, so can you talk a little bit about what your player schedule was today to get back into it, and also just what your message was to them going into December?
Well, the biggest thing for the players today was really just the strength conditioning, getting checked back in with the medical, and then they had a community service opportunity today. So that was their schedule, and then tomorrow is their normal Tuesday off day, and then we'll start Wednesday into a normal week.
You always found in your previous breaks, coming back after Thanksgiving, there's a little more juice, a little more adrenaline coming back in, and you kind of see the logic.
Definitely. I think that'll be Wednesday, probably more so Thursday. I feel it's real important to try to make this be a mini bye for what's in front of us. You know, that's what I've learned over my experiences of playing on Thanksgiving. So that's really our what we're trying to accomplish.
Getting back, Clarence Velocity Dallas, getting back to the medical.
Oh, get your Texas shirt on, huh? Shocker.
Not an accident.
Getting back to the medical, the guys checking in, and you get a read on some of the guys who've been out and their prospects this week and what they're going to do for Monday night.
Okay, who do you want to talk about?
D-Law, Diggs, Martin.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is Wednesday will be kind of an abbreviated practice, something you have to be very conscientious of when they are on a break, just to come back into, probably about a 60-65% practice. So those guys, will probably do a little bit of that. And then Thursday will be a normal Wednesday, which, the veterans will break back in. But I see Zach Martin, potentially going with that group. D-Law is still technically in the rehab group, so we'd like to see where he is this week. That's a whole other threshold that he needs to go over. I mean, for the severity of his injury and how long he's been out. So it'll take the week really to answer those questions. Who else you want to talk about?
Diggs. What about Diggs?
I'm hopeful that he'll be able to do some earlier in the week and then hopefully progress to doing more at the end of the week.
And what about Guy? Where is he?
He'll be in the rehab group Wednesday.
And Ferguson?
I would think Fergie would be close to coming back. There you go.
Thank you.
Good teamwork.
Todd Archer with ESPN. In a league filled with unbelievable athletes and things like that, Overshown's play, the interception, the pick six, did you find yourself going back and looking at it again and say, oh, my God, how did he do that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a great play. I mean, just all the way around, the anticipation, the instincts, and really to get control of the football. I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Really, I've been so impressed with him and his consistency and his approach. And, that's just going to keep putting him in the position to progress. And, frankly, we give him more opportunities, because he obviously can make plays from the edge also. So, but yes, a big time play.
And then with Ferguson, what have you missed without having him the last few games?
I mean, Fergie's, he's He plays really well in all three phases. You know, he's a good run blocker. You know, he gives you protection flexibility and the things that come off of the protection. You know, the option routes, the delay routes, and things like that. And he's done damage in the passing game. So just really his consistency in all three areas. But I am happy with the young guys. Both Luke and Brev have done a really nice job. So, and I think that really helps us moving forward. And I'm just in a big picture is really hopeful that all the opportunities these young players have been given, that it'll definitely benefit us here down the stretch.
John Machado with The Athletic. With the wide receivers, just two in particular, Brandon Cooks, Jonathan Mingo, coming out of that last game, what was your evaluation of those two?
Just frankly, it's great to get them back involved, number one. I think the biggest thing that I'm worried about is, you know, how we're using them. Because, I mean, I think it's like anything in the game of football. You know, the more plays you have, the more tendencies you have. The more personnel substitutions you have, the more tendencies you have. So we just got to make sure we're rolling these guys through, that we're not telegraphing, what's next because of who's in the game. But I thought both those guys did a nice job of playing to their opportunities that they were given last week.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Yeah, talked about the turnover ratio. It's not to your liking, but it seems as if during this win streak, you are getting the turnovers. Your thoughts about what the defense is doing?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we're plus four the last 2 weeks, and obviously had turnovers also or takeaways also in the Houston game. So we got to keep that zero on the board as far as taking care of the football, as far as the giveaways. That's very, very important, something we've been emphasizing more than ever, and definitely we'll need it this week against Cincinnati. But we need to continue to build off of what we've done. It's just like anything else. It's, you know, the more takeaways you get is really clearly is based off putting yourself in position. So we're putting ourselves in better position, you know, proper angles, gang tackling, second guy in, all the key coaching points to the takeaway opportunities. So I think our guys have done a really nice job recognizing that and really getting it to game time, which is where it really matters.
You know, it's a tough position to grade for a lot of people, but like Mozzie, are you seeing that progression that you've been looking for?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, once again, you got to look at what's being asked of him. Is he doing his job? And I mean, let's be honest, when you're playing the nose guard in a one technique, you know, it's not a lot of sexiness going on in there as far as what he's being asked to do. But I do one thing I would like to know, and I brought it up the last couple of times we talked about him, I do think he's doing a good job in the movement part of it. He's been a good anchor in there, and we are getting some consistency, and I think you clearly see that in our run defense.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. You mentioned the tip of the iceberg with Overshown. What do you see with where he is, considering he did lose his rookie year to that injury?
Well, I think just like anything, if you'd have seen him in here working out every day, you know, during that, you know, that period of time, there was just such a level of consistency with that whole group, frankly. So he did grow, whether he realized it or not. So I think just like any player that comes in the league, there are things you just have to go through in your first year. Unfortunately, his was a major injury. But, you know, the second year, things come a lot easier to you. The expectation of what every day brings is easier. And, you know, he's been a very mature, consistent player in person for us. And I think it's really showing up on game day. I think, you know, his experience the first year was tough, but he did have a chance to go through everything at once.
Anyway.
Newey Scruggs, NBC5. Can you speak to the challenge of facing Joe Burrow and those offensive weapons he has?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just, you know, you watched the game yesterday, just the way he, you know, he steps up in that pocket and so instinctive with the football, clearly has a great understanding of what they're doing, knows where everybody is. His ability to throw on time, just the one glance route to the left is one there in the fourth quarter, really stands out. To throw it into that coverage with anticipation and hit it in stride for, I think it was a 32-yard game. But, yeah, he's top-notch. This is a huge challenge for us. We understand what the records are, but their offense has been extremely productive. And a lot of times it just looks like they're playing 7-on-7 with their pass game. So it's going to be a big challenge for us.
And with Luke Schoonmaker's past couple of games, where do you think that confidence has come, where he's been out there helping make plays, where just a couple of weeks ago he was limited on snaps and playing time?
You know, I just really want to compliment Luke for all the extra time that he's put in. You know, he's made some mistakes early, but there's not a day where he's not in there early, you know, 7 o'clock with his position coaches, and there's not a day where he's not staying afterwards. So it's refreshing when you see these guys put in the extra time and then they're rewarded on game day with his production. So I'm very proud of his approach. He's been very consistent, but he's really prepared for this opportunity, and he has stepped up here the last 2 weeks.
Jazz Monet, Dallas Cowboys Media. Coach McCarthy, back in mid-October, you mentioned that the team was practicing hard enough, but not necessarily practicing well. So since then, have you seen improvements in the practice quality? And if so, could you share any specific changes that you've made that contributed to that?
Well, I think just like any year that you go through, and particularly, some days are better than others. But, yes, I mean, you really kind of go into a different category of practicing this time of year. We'll have a full week, a padded week going into this week, but obviously 6-day week, and our padded practices are coming to an end here, so the practices will be different. But I think we've gotten better, but we also we've had a lot of moving parts, and when you have moving parts, you have to sometimes repeat plays, and we have continued to do that approach. But I definitely would say we're practicing better.
Also, with the number of injuries this season, some of them being non-contact or mechanism dependent, have you noticed any trends either through the GPS data or other metrics that could help you and the staff implement any preventative practices?
Definitely. I'm not going to talk about it right now, though. But that's our job. Love your question, though.
Ed Werder, WFAA. You were talking a minute ago about how impressed you are with Cincinnati's offense defensively, though. They've had a lot of issues on that side of the ball, scored a lot of points and not won games. In what ways do you see them as being vulnerable, even though you're playing a backup quarterback?
Well, when your offense is rolling, I mean, that puts a different level of stress on the defense, too. They, the thing that we're seeing is, I mean, they throw a lot at you. So this is a very good football team. I mean, I would never think their record would – illustrates what you see on video. I mean, especially now we've had extra time. I know personally, just being in here on the weekend and just continue to watch the games and watch the Pittsburgh game live. This is a very good football team, and obviously they're going to have a full week to prepare for us. And we just look for this to be a Monday night battle, and that's the way we got to take it. Because I mean, the records, you really have to throw it out, because there is a lot of production on both sides of the ball.
CD, you expect him to regain a certain level of health this week?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. We'll see where he is Wednesday. But he had the shoulder injury in the game, and we'll see where he is. Come Wednesday.
Kyle
Jones, DallasCowboys.com. You were talking earlier about Luke Schoonmaker earning some of those extra snaps because of his work ethic and his continued success. How has that translated with guys like Carl Lawson on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage, stepping up in a big role with all these injuries around?
Yeah, I think Carl, you look at his path here coming in late, getting some opportunities a little later. But, he's been consistent, and he has a style of play, and I think just like anything, whether you're on offense, defense, or special teams, when you have new players that come as late as in Carl's situation, it takes both sides to learn a little bit of each other. Certain things that, you may ask him to do or may not ask him to do, and I think now he's kind of finding his groove within our defense.
What was your evaluation of Mazi Smith against the Giants?
My evaluation?
Yeah.
I thought he played a solid game. Just going back through the video, I think he's doing exactly what we're asking him to do. But I think he's his job is, he's an anchor in there, and I think the run defense has improved.
Josh.
Josh Tolentino, Lone Star Live. Going back to Brandon Cooks, it seemed like after his touchdown, so many teammates were joyful and happy for him in the locker room. Jalen Tolbert described him as a coach. So I guess given the injury and just kind of what he went through, how would you describe like his steadiness, not only in his rehab, but just providing a voice as the oldest guy in that room?
Yeah, he's a big part of our football team. He's definitely someone that the players, the locker room really looks to. Just a high quality individual. Everywhere he's worked, his reputation has followed him. It was great to have him back on every front. He's one of the key members on our leadership council. So I was in here today, doing the extra. So he's just the ultimate pro.
Clarence.
Micah talked last week or so about Zimmer challenging him to be a better leader and do some things differently. Certainly his presence, what he does on the field has been noted, but can you talk about what you see from Micah coming back? Did he learn some things while he was out? How has he been a better leader?
I would say, you know, just the biggest thing is getting back into regularity. I think you got to remember, you know, Micah, and it's going to be the same with D-Law and all these. Brandon's another example. I mean, these guys go through these injuries. You know, it's just when they come back and go return to play, they don't just jump back right back in and pick up where they left off. I mean, it's just not practical. So I think you're seeing that both on the field and off the field with Micah, which has been very consistent with the other guys too. So just getting out there and, you know, the connection in practice. I mean, there's a reason why you practice and the reason why you practice a certain way. So I just think the biggest thing is you're getting back into more of a consistency and more of a flow that you kind of lose when you're injured. So I think that's the biggest thing, having him back in there and being a constant, you know, and that's important for all of our guys.
His attitude of not giving up and, you know, we're going to make somebody, is that infectious, that, you know, him come in with that energy and it.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I mean, you always appreciate that and appreciate his words. I think it's a good illustration of what the belief is, you know, not only by him, but also in the locker room.
Good. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We'll come back, take a look at some of those takeaways, and then resume Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Just had the Mike McCarthy presser, so we ran late. This segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Wolchuk with the rest of that NFL news of the day.
All right, come on by. See us tomorrow as G-Bag Nation. We're going to be live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. It's going to be 1335 North Peach Tree from 2 to 7. So come by, party with us. Food's always outstanding. Wait staff's great. Shell Shack in Mesquite tomorrow for a live G-Bag Nation. Back to your NFL news of the day, and the Steelers once again under Mike Tomlin. 21 straight seasons without a losing record. That is absolutely unbelievable. Congratulations to them. They have now tied the Cowboys from 65 to 85 for the longest streak in NFL history without a losing record after they beat Cincinnati yesterday.
Uh-oh.
44 to 38.
What are you going to do at the Star when we have the tour and they have the 20 consecutive winning seasons in a row?
Oh, no.
Probably going to have to,
to adjust that,
edit that.
See, that was something that New England was on the way of doing that, yeah. And then New England started kind of falling apart. So that's kind of funny to listen to him say that. Well, the Cowboys have had 20 consecutive winning seasons. You know, it was something of a bit of pride, but now you get the Steelers right there, right?
And this is a significantly more difficult accomplishment. You know, I think this is one of the greatest coaching accomplishments in sports history.
I would agree with how these rosters are totally overturned every single year. Free agency, you didn't have to deal with that. You're able to kind of keep your teams together. George Pickens.
I mean, the quarterbacks post Roethlisberger. How?
I know. I mean, it's crazy when you've looked at the way those offenses have played. I mean, they're just a team that's well coached. I know Mike Tomlin gets criticism when it comes to the time management stuff. I think that's an issue across the board with most coaches in the NFL. But he finds a way to get this team ready to play. He's winning games with Doug Hodges. I mean, it's damn impressive. You look at some of the quarterbacks he's won with. It's unbelievable. Now, the relationship with him and George Pickens, every single week there seems like there's something going on. He was escorted off the field at the end of last week's loss in Cleveland. He's fighting during the Hail Mary attempt at the end. Then he gets penalized for, you know, the gun after a big play that he had yesterday. He gets penalized for that. Mike Tomlin has, you know,
man, everybody's doing the gun. This Oregon player was doing the gun. It's okay in college. Let's just,
and I'm
it's
with
part
you,
of things.
But yeah. I guess it, like George Pickens now, there's something every week. So Mike Tomlin's just saying he needs to grow up.
He needs to mature. Yeah.
I don't know that he will, but we'll see what happens with his future in the NFL. He's still an outstanding player. There's no question about that. So maybe you look the other way with some of these antics, but Tomlin's starting to get a little frustrated with it.
He's not that good.
Not that good.
Mm.
Not that good.
Not so good that you overlook everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's just under that.
Yeah, he's not like the top 10 receiver conversation. But he is very, very talented. I guess, what would you say, like CeeDee Lamb, you're looking the other way, but you're not with George Pickens?
Yeah.
He's not on that tier.
I think Mike Tomlin looked the other way and protected Antonio Brown for about eight years.
Mike knows how to handle those players, though. Uh-huh.
He's had Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of different personalities he's had to go through over these 21 years of winning. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens lost yesterday to the Eagles, and they got up 9-0. Should have been 10-0, but you had the kicker there on Texas Tech A&M week.
Justin Tucker. Come on.
Last time they played, it was Justin Tucker kicking the horns to victory. Now he's having one of the worst years. It is the worst year of his career. I saw this stat when it comes to the losses for Baltimore this year. They've lost by a combined 22 points over the five losses. Justin Tucker has 22 points worth of missed kicks in those Ravens five losses. Oof.
Jeez, dude.
You can blame him. I know Lamar will blame himself, though, and he had a great moment during the post-game presser talking about the conversation he had with mom post-game.
I feel like there were some opportunities to run today for you that you may have passed up.
Yeah. My mama just told me that. She just cussed me out. So, like, I'm mad. So, like, we going to get after it, bro. I ain't going to lie to you. We going to get after it. I can't wait to this bye get on. Like, we got the Giants coming up. I'm ready to go, like. I'm just ready to go, man.
So what did she cuss you out about?
She said it was lanes I should have took and ran. But, you know, I was just trying to let guys develop routes. We had developing routes. And I was just trying to go through my progression. But, yeah, she right. I'm going to do my I'm sorry for this. I'm just mad because I feel like we should win these games and we not getting them done.
Yeah. Totally, dude. He makes some plays out of the pocket that are nice that you throw down the field. There's Zay Flowers for a huge chunk gain. But, yeah, there were multiple times watching that game yesterday where you're like, he easily could have just stolen 10 yards.
Maybe that was the pep talk he needed, like moving
Mom
forward.
Mom cussing you out after the game.
You know, and I'm not going to be relying on these guys anymore.
No, the Giants.
That's a get-right game.
Yeah, I'm doing it myself. That's a get-right game. Just watch the Giants. You'll figure about running all you want.
Only the second NFC loss ever in his career against an NFC opponent for Lamar. The Giants are one of the other teams that have beaten him. Now the Eagles are the second.
That makes me nervous if I'm a Ravens fan. I mean, he rushed 8 times for 80 yards. But he is just, he's not durable. We don't want to run to the playoffs. The Giants are going to get 0 yards rushing from Lamar Jackson if I'm coaching.
Yeah, I do think come playoff time, though.
Yes.
Maybe it's just like.
Take off.
Be Superman, dude. Just lose it with your legs. And honestly, I would feel that way if I was a Ravens fan. That's what I would want to happen here.
Just develop the passing game in the regular season. You're good enough to make the playoffs.
Now, Aziz Alshayer has apologized. He issued an apology to Trevor Lawrence, said, Trevor, I genuinely apologize to you for what ended up happening. Before the game we spoke, I told you how great it was to see you back on the field and wished you well. I would never want to see any player hurt because of a hit I put on them, especially one that was ruled late or unnecessary. He said it just all happened in the blink of an eye. But Adam Schefter has reported that he's probably going to get suspended. I don't know if it's for a game, multiple games, but it's not the first time for Shaiir. I think that's what also is going into this. He's had some other plays that have kind of come into question.
Linebacker's going
to
linebacker.
He was trying to fight somebody earlier in the season as well. So, you know, this is one where you'll get at least a game suspension probably for
just
the
Texas show him
linebacker.
The Eric Kipple hit. That'll
make everybody feel better.
Yeah. Is Lawrence hurt?
He was concussed and ruled out for the game. I doubt he's playing this next week.
I mean, he was stiff-armed.
I'd like to call in.
It was bad.
Exhibit A, Eric Kipple, sideline hit against Tampa.
His helmet still stuck in the clouds somewhere.
At the sombrero in about row 17.
There's your NFL news.
I got to tell you, I'm passing on that one. I mean, guys coming in low. Dude standing there with his arms out. In comes Lawrence into the hit. He's sliding into the hit. I'm leaning forward, hoping to push you down short of the sticks. Here you come sliding under and run into my forearm. Now I'm suspended and fined?
Yeah.
Is anybody with me on this?
I think the slide happened before he went into the forearm act, personally. But it is, I mean, when you start.
You think they ran him?
When you start slow-moing it. Yeah.
You can't find somebody on slow-mo.
You know, it's very, very hard to criticize having not been in that situation. Bang, bang, play. But, man, it did look dirty.
Yeah, it moves fast.
It looks like a bad hit.
And we certainly have the advantage of being able to pause things. But when you pause it, you can see right when he's starting to slide, there's about a 5-yard gap between the two guys. Now, obviously, 5 yards in that instance.
And
is
who covers that 5 yards
quickly?
Yeah.
It's Lawrence covering the vast majority of the distance.
Slide into it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a very difficult thing. This isn't like a Vontaze Burfict trying to kill somebody kind of linebacking
play. I don't
play.
Think there was malicious intent here at all. But it did. It is one of those hits that you don't want in the game.
If you're a quarterback, though, and you're going to slide, I mean, gosh dang it, you got to slide three steps earlier than you really want to, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough because especially with that line to gain sitting right there, I mean, there's a lot going on in these players' minds. And I don't want players getting fined or suspended based on split-second decisions. If you're headhunting, if you are that dude, get him out of the league entirely. You know, it has no place in the game intentionally trying to injure people when we know, you know, the nature of the concussions in the history of this league. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, you know what? I did look at the Giants tape, and I've got some thoughts about it. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. I think we have some college football coming up at 4 o'clock, a college football darty, if you will. It's time now, though. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here's the king himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Appreciate Reliant as well. Hey, Wolchuk, you said that our corner from the Commanders?
Yeah, Manuel Forbes, who was the first-round pick that, honestly, I was a big fan of. I think we all were on our draft show.
He was just a little bit slight. He was 166 pounds.
Very skinny, but he definitely didn't shy away from physicality while at Mississippi State. Just hasn't worked out with the Commanders. They released him, and he has just been picked up and claimed by the Rams.
So the Rams were 6-6.
Yeah.
So that means they're behind Dallas in the claiming order. So obviously Dallas
didn't put a claim in
for the guy. I was kind of thinking with all their corners being banged up.
I was too. I would have liked to have maybe, you know, usually they go after those guys. If they had a high draft rate on him.
That's what I'm saying. I thought they had maybe a second round grade on that guy. I'm sure somebody will text me and say they didn't have a second round
grade. Maybe they weren't as high on him as we thought.
Yeah. But anyway, Forbes goes to the Rams. And Dallas was down some corners too.
Well, now you lose Josh Butler.
Well, Butler's gone for the year.
That stinks.
And then Thomas is
Wanye.
He's going to be for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Might be in a situation. I mean, you're probably going to need more Izzy Mukwamu unless Diggs is good to go this week. Yeah. But God forbid. I mean, they've been really not wanting to play Andrew Booth, but you might be in a position where you have to.
Yeah. Situation not good there. But I reached out to some folks about Tank. You know, Stephen Jones came on and said it. You know, would be
long shot.
Yeah, they're going to try. They got a couple of days to work with him because of the Monday night game and then try and get him on the practice field. But they're at least going in the right direction of getting him back out on the practice field and kind of make a determination where they're at from there. But it is going in the right direction. So
it's good news.
We'll see how it goes. All right, I did have a chance to watch the film, but we didn't have a show on Friday. So
I heard you called in with Fred and Blake, though.
I did. I called
Krusty's Corner.
Getting an oil change?
I was getting an oil change there. Yeah, I had an oil change. By the way, you guys go for the synthetic oil?
I never have. Supposed to?
I don't even know, dude.
I think I had liquid Molly.
Kind of what I go through.
No, it's like this mobile synthetic oil. It's supposed to be really...
I'm using the whatever is for the high mileage.
That's kind of... I was sitting there thinking like... Yeah, I'm driving around a bunch.
Yeah, that's what I've been rocking with.
Go for that. You know, you pay a little extra, get a seventh job to pay for.
I like playing on natural grass.
Yeah. All right. But synthetic,
Isn't it like double the cost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, you go 5,000 miles and they can sit at 3,000.
Real quick, too, I had to get an inspection on the car.
Uh-huh.
How much do you think the inspections cost?
It's like bucks. Well, because you got to go get the sticker. The sticker's like $75.
No, I got the oil change and the inspection at the same place.
That's $100.
Total of 100, yeah.
100 total?
I would say.
Yeah, the synthetic oil was $90. The sticker was $7.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
The expiration tags?
Yeah.
For only $7?
Yeah. That's all I had to pay to get inspected. $7.
Oh, that's chalk that up to a huge win, dude. I take it to my local Kroger with that green sheet that they give you in the mail or whatever,
that
envelope.
You register
and then
the car.
Like, yeah, and it's like $75 every time.
That's for the actual registration. Yeah. Brian's for the
inspection.
Test.
Inspection.
Oh, yeah. Inspection.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which is about to be obsolete here in some counties.
So there's
a lot of counties.
Okay.
Wish it was mine.
Oh, so it's not a state. It's not the whole state.
No, it's not the whole state. Right. Yeah, I wish it was, bro.
All right. Well, I kind of thought
that's confusing.
I got my bill.
Oh, come on.
Why are we making this difficult?
Department of Government Efficiency getting them?
Yeah, I don't know.
That Elon Musk, he's on the prowl.
Clearing everybody out.
Yeah, get
bureaucrats.
Yeah, get out of here.
Doge.
Doge.
Ain't that their name?
Yeah, Doge.
Doge. Oh. All right. Overshown saves the day. on a play.
What an awesome play, dude.
Yeah, this screen pass is going to be a huge play for the Giants if he doesn't tip this ball. Because Singletary has all kinds of space to run if he catches it. And it's very well set up, with the exception of they realized that they didn't take care of Overshown on this thing. Really, Locke misjudged the length of Overshown, and the ball gets knocked in the air. I really give a tip of the cap. I always get on officials. Give a tip of the cap to Brian Neal, the umpire, for staying the hell out of the way.
Hats off to him.
Yeah,
because like end of the day.
he had a chance to kind of like pick or block Overshown. My man like showed some ability to get out of the way so that he could go and make the interception there. So. Tip of the cap.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Brian Neal, umpire.
It's one of the slowest backpedals you've ever seen.
But he got out of the way.
All he needed to get away was about 6 inches, it was perfect. And there goes Overshown, superhero. Yeah. He just dominated the running back. What an athletic play.
Yep. I'll tell you what, it was really
so smooth. Very smooth. I mean, that showed like superstar instincts and execution. The rest of the game, was it top notch? Are we heading in the right direction with Overshown?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got like 21 pressures now since they've used him in that poor man's Micah Parsons role.
He's been dealing.
I knew he was gonna have a great game when I saw him kind of turn back the clock to his Longhorn days with the aesthetic and wear like 9 sweatbands one arm.
Yeah, I don't think
and then an arm sleeve on the other. Oh,
yeah. I don't think the equipment staff have enough equipment for him.
No,
to
it's taken all season for him to build up enough sweatbands to cover his entire arm with it. It was like, okay, you see him in pregame warmups, he's ready to have it day.
It's true agency.
Yeah, he had that look in his eye. And he should have been the
turkey leg guy.
Man of the weekend.
He was turkey leg guy for sure. All right, clutch catch by Cooks. This is one of my favorite plays that the team runs. This is the one where they use the tight end as a pick, and they run behind him now that Cooks is back at it. They tried it the other day with Tolbert. Remember the third down that went inside against the Commanders? Cooks runs it better than anybody they've got because he knows how to stay behind the tight end and then break. But this is the instead of lining up as twins, a twin formation, like, you know, put them stacked behind each other or right next to each other, they bring him in motion left to right, and Schoonmaker comes off the ball, and Cooks runs, like, instead of, like, span forward, it's Scooty. So Scooty kind of understands what he has to do. So Scooty comes off the ball. Cooks runs the out behind him. Giants are getting all cluttered up.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what, that ball's thrown wide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wide.
He's got to really extend.
He leaps. He's
like off his feet.
Every inch of him to go get that football. But it's a great reception, great gain. Did you realize there was 2 minutes left in the game?
Yeah, that's a.
If he doesn't make that catch, the Giants are going to get the ball with 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was a big play. They called it against the Chargers the year before. Dak hit Cooks, very similar throw as well, and he was able to use his body to go get that.
That's
one.
Something
TV
they were missing.
A big deal out of it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
He called. He let us know that his nickname is Cookie.
Cookie. Yeah, Cookie.
Because they played together.
They did. Lamb's day started off poorly. Let's talk about that. One of the first plays they threw, remember the play with him and Schoonmaker were like in the same vicinity and Rush just kind of threw the ball right in between them?
Mm-hmm.
This happens a little bit too much for me, but this is where I think his day started up pretty poor. Either he or Lipke didn't get the check. And Lipke comes in motion. He sets up on the right edge as a blocker. So Lamb is slot left. And runs a crossing route, like a drag underneath, while Lipke goes vertical, which carries two defenders right in the path of Lamb. And Rush throws the ball anyways. If the ball gets to Lamb, there's a chance for a huge play here. Instead, it's incomplete. We've seen this a couple of times with Lamb now, that like somebody carries defenders in, or was he supposed to run the drag, or were they So those kinds of things bother me a little bit. About that, why do they have that? But that was kind of the start of the day. Dowdle's long run, I want to talk about that. There's a high snap from BB on that one. Lawrence is right on his nose. And that's what happens with BB. When somebody gets right on his nose, it makes him a little worried. But excellent blocks by Smith on Nunez Roaches, the tackle to turn him out of the hole. And span forward. He got enough of McFadden, the linebacker, that allows Dowdle to run by him. Great finish by Dowdle, splitting the tackles of Newbin and Pinnock for the first. That was a nice long run that he had, that one on second and 21. Second and 21.
You never expect to get the first down.
No, we're just calling a draw. Let's see and try and make it a third manageable.
Yep. The I want to talk about, too, the pop pass to Turpin, little pop pass they did. Turpin, is this a really good call again? I'm giving Mike credit for this one.
This is shocking.
Yeah. Turpin motions left to right, and Steele, Hoffman, Dowdle, Cooks all in front. So they finally got everybody where they needed to be.
Right. It's amazing when everyone's out there, you finally get
them
in space.
You get everybody in space.
And the timing's right.
The timing is absolutely right. It's just the snap and then like the pop, it just punches it forward with his Rush punches it forward with his hands, and now you're around the corner. But great job by all those guys getting out front and making some blocks. So got some more later on, Dawson, if you want it. We got some more things we need to talk about, too.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, and typically the show after the most recent game, he gives you two of them. Okay, so stand by. We'll do a little bit more of that later on. Top 10 at 420 is about 20 minutes away. A little college football next, Chief Hall?
Yes, a Rivals Weekend to Remember featuring Aggie Police Reports and brawling all over the country next in the nation.